Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A handful of interesting bits of local news in yesterday, the first of which is that NAS Pensacola is going to be opening up to the public again. What we assume is all related to trying to hopefully maybe someday, some way, get the base reopened to those of us who have wanted so badly to go there. I mean, all of the hundreds of thousands of visitors to the Naval Aviation Museum every year cut dramatically because of the security concerns after the terrorist attack. And then COVID, of course, didn't help that much either, but that's not really the reason anymore. So, yeah, coming up on March 25th and 26th, the base is going to be open. And so you're going to be able to go on there and, you know, through the west gate, through the back gate. Kind of like it used to be. Remember when it used to be going through the back gate in civilians? Do you remember what it was like to go on the base? So obviously you'll be able to access the museum, the lighthouse. There will be parking limits, traffic control points, and so forth. Barrancas, you know, all kinds of stuff you'll be able to see on there. So be prepared 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. On both days, apparently, is what they're looking at. And of course, you're going to have a valid ID, 18 and older, you know, basically an official state ID. Okay, driver's license or a passport are going to be the ones you're going to use for that. That was one. The second one was the Southern Raceway. Put out, well, actually not Southern Raceway per se, but the race league, the Southern All-Star Dirt Racing Series, put out a note. Remember how we had the shovel attack post-race, and then there was the hammer attack.
We are accident-free this morning, you know, with no slowdowns to report. I-10 and I-110 looking good throughout our area, as well as 3 Mile Bridge and Garson Point Bridge. Definitely slow you down on Pine Forks, Blue Angel, or Lillian Highway. If you do see something on the road slowing you down, you see an accident, have some details, give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ashton Winger will be suspended for 60 days with zero tolerance probation due to a crew member using a weapon and a physical altercation with G.R. Smith. Drivers are responsible for their crew. This is what led to this decision. Hey, make somebody responsible who will have an effect, right? If you put the drivers on notice that their whole team they're responsible for, guess what? They will be able to control their team. He says the release goes on. G.R. Smith will be suspended indefinitely for his actions on the track. The driver struck the 12 machine repeatedly repeatedly under caution. He failed to comply with our race director, who repeatedly told him to leave the track. This is the reason for the attack after the race, right? He was disqualified from the event. Requirements for reinstatement will be discussed with GR privately, and once the requirements and stipulations are met, suspension will be lifted. Both parties are remorseful for everything that occurred Saturday. We hope to see them competing with Southern All-Stars again in the near future. Southern All-Stars apologizes to the fans and Southern Raceway for the altercations that ensued on Saturday and hate to see this happen in our sport. This kind of stuff is not acceptable and will not be tolerated at any SAS events. I know a number of people that their kind of perspective was, you know, like, well, that's not, you know, you didn't bump him. That's just racing. Well, no, it's not. I mean, they take this seriously, and rightly so. It means crimes happened, right? Following G.R. Smith's unacceptable behavior on track personnel and security were called to his pit area to be sure a safe place was provided for the competitor to be able to load his equipment and leave the premises after the misbehavior on track. Unfortunately, the altercation occurred before the Santa Rosa County officers could get to the site in time. That's fast. Going forward, the complete double file restart will remain. A cone will be set out at the starting line. Competitors must stay in line through the cone. This is all race-related stuff for them in the future. Leader will have lane choice and must fire first. An official will be in turn four to help monitor each start. If competitors caught jumping first time, they'll go back a row to the second offense, and they'll be sent to the pending a car's lap down and third offense. And, you know, basically it says all also going forward, drivers, crew members, or parties affiliated with race teams that choose to verbally abuse, threaten, or physically go after a race official can result in disqualification from the event with further penalties up to the discretion of the officials. Good for them. Good for them. Seems like they're trying to, you know, get a handle on things, clamp down, and make sure nothing like this happens again. So good. And I have to assume that part of this is making sure to clean up, you know, the race behavior and the post-race misbehavior. And a part of this is also to send a signal to the crowd, the attendees, and frankly to the sheriff's office. You know, hey, we're doing our part. You know, we're doing our part. To be frank, I would like to see this kind of a response from the owners of the Club Climax. You know, I'd love to see them basically put out, I mean, it's not the same because it's not a race, but, you know, put out a statement, say, here's what we're doing, here's what we're taking care of, this is going to be better, we're going to make it better, you know, because that's what the community needs to hear from them. 6:16 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got, oh my goodness. Crazy.
Wow.
I'm going through the wheel of producers this last week, so I apologize. I had to look at her.
That
I'm like,
girl over there, it's got traffic.
Crazy's got traffic on the fives.
Well, roads are looking good right now. I-10, I-110 won't show you anything to slow you down. Pine Forest, Blue Angel, and Gulf Beach also looking good. And gates of NAS Pensacola, we are running smoothly all the way through. See something else on the roads? Just give me a call to the traffic line. That is 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It should make you feel better that when I'm looking at my computer, my brain skipped. And when I looked at you, it was easy.
Okay, good.
See? That should make it. Yeah, right.
Nice save.
Whew. Hey, you don't do, 2.5 decades of marriage without learning some tricks, okay? You got to manage to learn some tricks. Hey, if you're a local employer and you've, been dealing with things like HR and payroll and you've been managing, which insurance plan and which dental, vision, life, all that kind of stuff. Listen, if you want to keep doing it, keep doing it. If you'd like a little help with that, or you just frankly like an expert from the outside to come in and look at what you're doing and see whether what you're doing is the best for your employees, that's why you call Torgerson Causey. They manage this stuff for us here at Cat Country and News Radio. They're fantastic. We've been using them for about five or six years, something like that. And they've been great. I mean, every time we have a question, they answer it. They gave us options in the beginning, which we didn't have before. So I recommend them personally. And they're very, very easy to work with. Knowledgeable, always return your calls, all that stuff. All the stuff you need, okay? So have them look at what you're doing just to find out. There's no obligation for that. Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Darrell's Sewing of Pensacola is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of machines plus a large selection of furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Coming up March 17th and 18th, find Darrell's at the Pensacola Quilts 2023 Quilt Show at the Pensacola Fairgrounds. Sponsored by the Pensacola Quilters Guild. Darrell's of Pensacola, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess, 850-438-5444. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11, before Dave Ramsey, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tanner, where are you going?
I'm setting booby traps.
Booby traps?
That's what I said, Sam. Setting booby traps in case of anybody's following us.
Oh, man, I had such a brain glitch the other day, and I'm so glad somebody texted me about it, or I wouldn't be able to at least apologize for it on the air. They were saying how much they loved the interview we did with David Weber, owner of Weber Skate World in Milton, and about this new outdoor racing track that they're building, first of its kind in the entire country, where they're going to eventually, they're probably this year, host the U.S. Championships, and eventually they want to host the National Championships. And they said, thank you, Andrew. Love the interview. I must have driven up and down Dogwood half a dozen times looking for Weber Skate World now and haven't found it yet. Now, I heard you say Dogwood twice during the interview, and I wish they would have corrected you when you said Dogwood, because it's not on Dogwood. It's on Stewart Street. And as soon as they said it, I'm like, oh, you're so right. I said it. And, the reason is the same day I was getting ready to do the interview with him, I was researching the public's the story about the development project right across, the stucco story, the development right across from the public, which is on Dogwood. So it got stuck in my head, and I'm sorry, you're right. It is on Stewart Street, not on Dogwood. I apologize. You make mistakes. You try to correct them as quickly as you can. 4 hours of live radio a day, I make some. Let me tell you, I make some. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Special grand jury in Georgia reportedly heard a recording of former President Trump trying to get the state's House Speaker to hold a special legislative session to overturn Biden's 2020 election victory. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporting yesterday that then-House Speaker David Ralston, who since died, denied that request and never called the session. Arizona railroad officials say a train that derailed last night north of Lake Havasu City was actually carrying corn syrup. The BNSF freight train derailed near the California border. A spokesperson for the Mojave County Sheriff's Office originally said it was carrying hazardous materials. And
you know what that means.
What's that?
That means all those cactus are going to be diabetic soon.
Oh, won't somebody think of the cacti?
And then you know what's going to happen after that is somebody's going to open up one of those cactus and eat it and try it, and it's going to taste wonderful. And then they're going to make some, you know, tequila out of it, and they're going to be like, oh, this is the best. And that's how you discover new recipes.
Huh. Well, what do you know? I learn something new every day. Credit Suisse Bank says they're getting a lifeline from Switzerland's central bank. In the middle of the night announcement, Credit Suisse said they were going to borrow up to $54 million from the central bank to shore up liquidity and investor confidence after a slump in their shares.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got an interesting note yesterday from Senate President Kathleen Passidomo. She was in a, I guess you'd call it a press conference. It was like two guys with recorders got together with her on the floor of the Senate. I mean, and they were kind of mumbling and bumbling around a little bit in terms of the questions they were asking her, but they did get a very interesting piece of information out of her.
Do you support the bill about moving the age down to 18 to buy rifles?
No.
You do not?
No. We don't have it in the Senate. And nobody filed it, so I don't. There's no bill to support.
What was I telling you the other day when we were talking about this? I said, philosophically, I'm on board. I want 18 to be the age. I don't think that citizens of age should be prohibited from buying a gun. If you're allowed to vote, you should be able to buy a gun. That, because voting is gunfire by other means. I mean, that's what an election is. You know, if we all went to war with each other, civil war, over to figure out, you know, what the level of taxation ought to be, or whether the schools ought to be, you know, having pornography in them, or, you know, pick an issue, okay? We'd all have to fight, and people would die, and we'd destroy property, but the ones with the most people on their side would win that war, and then you'd have policy. Now, that's a very terrible way for directing public policy, so instead we do elections. But an election is, there's, you know, 10,000 of us and 8,000 of you, so we get our way. Basic. I mean, that's the basic idea. Numbers win because it's better than fighting a war. Okay, so, you know, that's kind of the premise of it. But the point is, she's saying, look, you know, we're not doing this. We're not going to allow, and because it's been since Parkland that the 18, 19, 20-year-olds don't have guns. Or not, they can own them, but they're not allowed to buy them. It's a weird way it works in Florida. They can't buy them, but they can't own them if you gift them to them. And she says, no, we don't have that bill in the Senate. Nobody's looking for it. That's it. And that's what I told you. I said in the House, this is going to pass. And in the Senate, I think it probably won't get taken up because the Senate is still, pardon the use of phrase, gun shy since Parkland, because they believed at the time that they had to pass this restriction in order to get Democrats on board for the Parkland bill and avoid all getting voted out of office after that horrible incident. And they, you know, it's easy to argue that they were wrong, but you don't know whether they're wrong because we don't get a chance to run that alternative universe. So the senators don't seem to be into this, and there's no bill filed, and there probably won't be a bill filed.
But that doesn't mean that you still couldn't take it up at some point when it comes over to the House.
You know, I listen to my members. Nobody's brought it up to me. Nobody's mentioned it to me in the Senate.
What if they amended into permit was carried over to the House?
I don't think that'll happen.
So you think it's dead in the Senate?
There's no bill filed.
I love that answer. So you think it's dead in the Senate? There's no bill filed. Yes, it's dead in the Senate. Now, she's saying anything could happen, but so far, nothing like that has happened. So will the age for purchasing a gun in Florida even be considered in the Senate this year? The answer is so far, no. No, things can change, but that's where we are. So it'll stay at 21 for all forms of guns. 437, 16, 20, because of the federal rule that you can't buy handguns until you're 21 from a licensed dealer. The federal rule, as I understand it, is it does not relate to private sales, but gun shop sales. So it's kind of weird how these regulations are not genuinely standardized across ages and states. But again, In Florida, if you're going to buy a gun, you've got to be 21 and older. And, of course, you can't get a concealed carry permit unless you're 21. Because handguns, right? 625 News Radio 92.3. We've got Gracie Wolf with traffic on the fives.
No slowdowns to report. I-10 and I-110 are looking good, as well as 29 and 90 throughout Pensacola. Highway 90 also checking in clear throughout Milton and Pace. Nothing to slow you down. Woodbine Road, Berry Hill Road, as well as Chemuckla Highway. If you do see something on the road slowing you down, just give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, somebody texted me in and says, if you're able to go in the military, if you're old enough to go in the military, you should be able to buy a gun, and not just a long rifle or a shotgun. You should also be able to buy a pistol. I totally agree. I mean, I understand the arguments on the other side about things like misuse by, for example, suicide. And I also understand the issue that most of the violence comes from people in the age group. But then if that's your goal, like if your goal is to say, you know, who's the wrong age to have guns? Well, you'd make the gun purchase age 25, just like you'd make the driving age 25. But we don't do that because we recognize that when people are citizens, they have rights. And, for example, the right to protect yourself, which, by the way, it is really hard to protect yourself in your car with a shotgun. You know, like try to, you know, somebody tries to carjack you in your car and you got to hold on just a second. Let me dig into the back seat here and pull out of the rack. I mean, it's insane. Same thing in your home. You know, I always think of the 19-year-old girl who leaves her parents' house and maybe she's going to college, not on college campus, of course, because they ban guns too, but, you know, like lives in an apartment off campus and just wants to feel safe at night. Now, well, she can, you know, she can have a shotgun if she can find somebody who's kind enough to, you know, loan it to her or gift it to her. But she can't, you know, she's not supposed to have a pistol. Again, you know, she can't go buy one. Why should you be dependent on the kindness of relatives or something for these? It's a nutty rule. But there are counterbalancing interests, and I understand that. That's why we elect people to make rules on our behalf, and then eventually they form laws. And in this case, I think Florida's got it wrong. One of the weird ways in which Florida is too liberal, basically, by political terms, not in terms of being open to freedom, but too restrictive in terms of politics about guns. 628 News Radio 92.3. That's right. About 2 months ago, we changed formats a little bit, and we got rid of one of the commercial breaks, and every once in a while, I forget. It does happen. 437-1620. Oh, no, I'm not doing that story right now. I'll do that one later. I told you, jokingly, that the woke Irish would be upset about SNL doing the sketch where they made fun of Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson and the way they talk with their Irish accent. Sure enough, there has been pushback from some portions of the Irish world about this, saying, you know, making fun of the alcohol drinking, making fun of the accent. It's all racist. It's all anti-Irish. It's just like these British imperialists have done for years and years and years. And then you actually had, I didn't catch it, but during the Oscars, Jimmy Fallon actually talked to Colin Farrell and mentioned this sort of in passing.
But hold that thought, because I'm told we have the stars of the
band. Oh, this is not the part I wanted. I'm sorry. Here we go.
The next question is from Joey Perello from Las Vegas for Colin Farrell.
Haven't seen Joey in years.
Well, Joey would like to say, Colin, I loved your performance in The Banshees of Inisherin. My question is, what were you saying in the movie?
It's funny.
I'd like him to go on YouTube and check out SNL last night, and he'll have a good idea.
And that way he'll figure it out? All right.
So he saw the sketch, and he thought it was funny. And what the reaction, though, from some quarters is, Colin Farrell throws shade on SNL. Colin Farrell pushes back, lashes out. And I'm like, no, he didn't do any of that. He watched the sketch. He thought it was funny enough to send people that way when Jimmy Fallon makes a joke about that in the actual Oscars. Just, you know, I hate to be the obvious person to say it, but lighten up, Francis. Lighten up, Karen. Come on, just enjoy the humor. Don't worry so much. Stop choosing to be offended. Choosing to take offense is a choice to take the offense. You do not have to choose to take it. You can choose instead to, you know, just be human and say, that's okay. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
The Northwest Florida Fairgrounds in Fort Walton Beach have a new owner. We'll tell you who after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Russia denies there was contact, but U.S. Central Command has now released video of a Russian fighter jet clipping an American reconnaissance drone over the Black Sea. Iowa Senate Republican Joni Ernst on Fox and Friends First.
As international airspace, we have every right to be there. This administration needs to step up to the bar and push back very firmly.
The Russian ships where that drone went down. Round one of the NCAA men's college basketball tournament starts today, just after noon Eastern.
The top seed overall in the men's tournament, Alabama, takes on first four winner Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Fellow one seed Houston will take on Northern Kentucky later this evening. And reigning champs and one seed Kansas will begin their repeat bid today when they take on 16 seed Howard.
Fox's Matt Napolitano ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. Stock futures are down just a bit. Stocks finished mixed yesterday. America's listening to Fox News.
News Radio 92.3 and good Thursday morning. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. It is 47 degrees right now in Pensacola. Family and friends of Ariel Thomas, the 23-year-old man that was gunned down after leaving Club Climax last weekend, honored his memory with a vigil at Palafox Pier yesterday. They released balloons into the sky.
His favorite colors was red, and we just want to, everyone just wanted to come out and do something, be a part of, you know, what the loss, and just to show love for Ariel.
And that is Thomas's mother there. Pensacola police continue looking into that fatal shooting that happened across the street from Club Climax on Sunday. Investigators say so far nobody's come forward with information. Okaloosa County purchasing the Northwest Florida Fairgrounds in Fort Walton Beach. The city has agreed to sell the property to the county for $4 million. The Okaloosa Board of County Commissioners has also voted to approve that contract. Okaloosa County officials say they want to make sure that the property remains available to the public. The purchase was made possible by voters in the county expanding their bed tax outside of its original boundaries. The fairgrounds expected to be placed in the county's Tourist Development Department for maintenance and also for marketing. A speed skating enthusiast in Milton has followed the age-old prophecy. If you build it, they will come. Well, of course, he didn't build a ball diamond. It was a one-of-a-kind speed skating track.
And right now, you know, I've got the bank track is built. Probably be another month and a half. I'm waiting on handrails before that open up so that my kids can start skating on it competitively.
And, of course, the strategy seems to have worked. That's David Weber from Skate World in Milton, and he believes that the World Skate Speed Skating Championships are going to be held in Milton within the next few years. As of now, they're committed to holding that event in Italy. Weber tells News Radio he also plans on holding special events at that new outdoor speed skating track. Governor Ron DeSantis being accused of violating ethics laws. Donald Trump supporters with Make America Great Again Incorporated filed a complaint yesterday with the Florida Commission on Ethics. The PAC asked the board to see if DeSantis' book tour violated ethics laws because it furthers his personal financial gain at the expense of Florida's taxpayers. DeSantis' communication director tells NBC News it's inappropriate to use state ethics for partisan purposes. Well, there's another chance coming up here soon to get on base at NAS Pensacola to check out the Naval Air Museum and also the Lighthouse. There's going to be a public access weekend March 25th and 26th from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. each day. Visitors will be entering through the Blue Angel Gate. You do have to have a valid picture ID if you want to get on base. It's also going to be limited based on available parking. Once the parking at the Lighthouse and the museum are full, nobody else will be able to get on base until more parking does open up. And also, the Navy says no weapons are allowed on base. So even if you do have a valid concealed carry license, you will want to make sure you don't have a firearm in your car when you get to that gate. And again, that's the gate on Blue Angel. It is 6:35, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Gracie.
Roads are looking good right now. Nothing to slow you down on I-10 or I-110. Gate of NAS Pensacola running smoothly onto base, as well as Three Mile Bridge and Garcon Point Bridge. Nothing to slow you down. Throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre, 98 is running smoothly. If you see something else on the roads, give me a call to 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be slightly warmer as we go into the afternoon today. Mostly sunny skies, high near 72. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 60s. For Friday, showers and thunderstorms move in, starting in the late morning, lasting through the afternoon hours. A few storms could be strong. High on Friday near 77 degrees. Temperatures drop overnight near 46 degrees. We're going to be seeing some sunshine return for your Saturday with a high near 60. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 48 in Pensacola. 49 in Gulf Breeze and 42 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm
into News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, bearded. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we got Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County, joins us every week at this time. Hey, Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, you know it is great to be with you.
Oh, man, good to have you. And by the way, just in terms of open disclosure, if you left me alone for 20 years with no razor, my beard would still get nowhere close to ZZ Top's. It would be maybe a half inch long. It just is. So I got a text in from a listener the other day asking me a question about US 29 Palafox and Brent, that intersection, Brent Beverly, which is a major intersection, obviously, in the county. And FDOT has been doing a road resurfacing project there. And the condition right now is that the interior on the Palafox corridor, the interior two lanes are elevated and maybe they're finished. I'm not sure. But the outside two lanes are lower by maybe a couple of inches. And so the byproduct of this sitting this way is that when you're driving east to west across that intersection on a green light on Brent, it's like going through a residential area with speed bumps, only you're going, you know, 35, 40, 45, let's be honest, miles an hour. And that's very, very, very bad for cars and drivers, and it's abrupt and a problem. And so they wanted me to ask you what gives. Now, it's an FDOT project, I know, but still, you know, what can you tell us? How soon will this be resolved?
Well, I know the timeline on that is to be completed. It says, you know, they say spring of 2023. So that's we're in March. You got another month, April. Hopefully it's before then. But yeah, I know they're doing alternating lane closures, and I'm not sure why the contractors kind of pulled off. I know they've been doing some night work, I believe. And I know the temperatures at night have been dropping down below the threshold for laying asphalt. Maybe that's the case there in that location. I know we had a couple of good weeks of warm weather where night work was really good. So maybe it's the temperatures, but you know, we can certainly look into that and get you a good update on that.
Okay, and you know maybe look, you know I know it's hard to push FDOT on anything, but maybe we could put out just a. You know, a flasher east and west that says bump, you know, something. I know we have warning signs and things like that. At least, you know, that might not do much, but that might be something maybe to help out the problem. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about is we're trying to develop this CORE program. This is the program that will help people recover and avoid addiction and, you know, overdoses. And we're making really good progress. What we've got, like three of the nurse positions have been filled and onboarded. And we've apparently one of the EMTs we had, the drivers we had went out. So where are we at on this? Because it seems like we're getting really close to being able to deploy.
We are getting really close. I've been a little bit frustrated, honestly. the money coming from the state's been a little slow coming in, and so you know, I know Chandra Smiley with Community Health, she's staffed up and ramped up. She's just amazing. Always does a great job. And then Eric and Torcel there at EMS, they're ramping up. We just onboarded some nurses the other day, so we're getting really close. And you know, speaking of the core program, we have an opioid abatement funding committee, advisory committee to push initiatives to the Board of County Commissioners. And, you know, that committee's really not getting off the ground as well as I'd like to see it. But so I think we start driving them. We need to get in the community. I know there's an opioid symposium coming up that CDAC's doing at Sanders Beach, that facility there. But we need to be in the community. We need to be in the community with our resources, Community Health, Sally Bergosh's organization, it's Health and Hope or Hope and Health. And we need to be in the community. Honestly, my thought and my idea is let's do a Narcan distribution, maybe in Brownsville, but not just that distribution, but let's bring all of our partners with us. Let's make it a resource center. Here's where you can get help for mental health, homelessness, opioid, addiction. I mean, all of it. Let's just put a big resource day together, and let's just do it. And I think we can do it for minimal cost, and I think our partners are willing to help us. But we just got to drive the initiative and do it. So that's something that we're working on. I just got a passion for it. I think we need to do it. We don't need to be at Sanders Beach, fancy facility for the professionals who are already in the business.
Right.
We need to be in the community. That's
right.
Where we need to be. And so that's kind of what I'm driving on.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing. Yeah, no, that's great. We'll look forward to hearing more about that as we get to doing it. We're talking to Wes Moreno. Somebody said, did you call him Wes Brown? No, but I probably did slur a little bit. I probably do that sometimes. So that's my fault. Oh, man. Wes, hang on for just a second. Let's get a quick traffic from Gracie.
Roads are looking good. Nothing to slow you down on 29 or 90 throughout Pensacola. Throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre, 98 is running smoothly. If you do see something on the road slowing you down, you see an accident, have details, give me a call to the traffic line. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Back to Wes Moreno. He is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, one of the things that I hear as a knock on Escambia County sometimes is Santa Rosa County has grants writer or multiple, and you know, they've got a grants help department, right? You got Pensacola, they're hiring grants writers. Escambia County does not have a per se grant writer or coordinator or department. Why not?
Well, Andrew, I'll say this. We've had a grant writer before, and my experience is your grant writer needs to be a subject matter expert, and a grant writer can't be a subject matter expert in everything. You know, Chips Kirschfeld, I'll call him out. He's done a phenomenal job in his tenure with the county, and Chips is a subject matter expert in all things environmental. And he's probably brought in, and this is no exaggeration, he's probably brought in close to $1 billion throughout his career with the county in grant money.
Wow.
Because he is that subject matter expert. And right now, for instance, we're driving on no less than 5 grants. Now I have just a rock star young lady in Elizabeth Kissel, who drives the departments on the grants. She manages the deadlines, all the reporting that has to go with the grants, all the specifications of the grants. And we just met late yesterday afternoon on the infrastructure grant. And I think it's important to have somebody who can do that, who knows the deadlines, the dates, the deadlines, the specifications, puts it all together, the public comment timelines, and manages all that and drives the departments. But, you know, you're almost, in my opinion anyway, you almost have, for like the infrastructure grant, well, your grant writers, unless they're an engineering type person, guess what? They got to go humbug that department. and sit on that department. And the department really puts all the information together and all the details together, all the ins and outs of all the projects. They know all that. They know, what they need. They know the estimates. They know the areas. They know the scope of work. So if you're a grant writer, if you're not an engineering type, well, guess what? You got to go sit in engineering. You got to go, and at the same time, you got a broadband grant. Well, if you're not an IT person, guess what? You got to go sit in IT. You got to get all specifications. And, so we're driving on several grants right now. But to me, I think what Liz is doing is really working well. And it's not, and she doesn't manage to do that with just grants. She does it with FEMA. And we got our $44 million reimbursement from FEMA the day before Hurricane Ian hit South Florida. And I strongly feel it's only because she had a FEMA contact and she'd been driving. She drives FEMA. She calls them up. Where is this? Where is this? The timeline is this. Timeline is that. And that kind of a person is more, to me, in my opinion anyway, is more vital than quote grant writer.
Okay, so like the grant, because you would have to you'd basically have to duplicate the expertise time used anyway, and maybe having more of just the grant coordinator, the person who's going to, crack the whip and facilitate the deals and get that stuff done. Just quickly, though, do you have enough staff of the sort you need in order to make sure that we're not missing grant opportunities?
We do.
Okay. All right.
We were just made aware yesterday afternoon of another grant opportunity that's coming down the line. I am looking to make some modifications there. In this particular area, mainly utilizing CHIPS and maybe bringing one other person on board, but I think right now we're up to speed and we're on it.
Okay, all right, good. Last question, and I'm cautious to ask this question, unrelated to county politics or anything else, but because you and I are friends, and you are a master griller who makes all kinds of amazing barbecue on your Big Green Egg and any other thing, and I feel like, in the interest of honesty, I have to tell you this. I cook my steaks in a pan. I pan fry my steaks now on purpose, from experience, because they turn out fantastic. Can we still be friends?
Absolutely. Hey, I've done that a time or two myself. It's a thing. Hey, cast iron searing your steaks is a thing.
I know, man. And I ain't got time for all that Big Green Egg nonsense. I'll just tell you, Wes Moreno, he is the county administrator for Escambia County and a fantastic barbecuer. Wes, as always, man, thanks for the time and thanks for what you do. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew.
You bet. 651 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck, because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Home Outlet has the new quality in-stock products you need to keep your project on time and the prices to keep you on budget. Refresh your bath with the Denmark Solid White Vanity, including a marble top and 3-inch backsplash, just $214 each. Add a Geneva freestanding bathtub, value priced at $899 each. Visit your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet for the guaranteed lowest price on the products you need to reimagine your bath space, or shop online at homeoutlet.com.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. In 1986, the Florida Bar limited personal injury contingency fees through trial to 40%. At that time, I thought that was too high. I've now practiced personal injury law in Northwest Florida for over 40 years, and I'm proud to say I've never charged a client 40%.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, 346. Florida average is 345. We're almost there. That's bad news, by the way. Texas is at 305, and then California is at 488. If you're in Navarro this morning, 318 east and west of the Walmart. They haven't really shifted much in a little while. 321 foot of the Garcon Point Bridge and at the Liberty Station in Tiger Point. 327. That is the Liberty Station. I'm going on memory, yeah. And this morning, my brain's gotten crossed up a couple times, so I'm trying to verify everything real quick. 327 in Gulf Breeze proper at the Exxon. In Milton, 317 at the CEFCO, 317 at the P. Ridge Murphy, 325 or 4 if you're going through Pace. The Tom Thumb / Cumberland Farms has 324. If you're on 9 Mile this morning, 311 at the Walmart Neighborhood Market, 311 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Coming in from the southwest side, the Happy Shopper on Jackson has 317. It's a little out of your way, most likely, but there you go. 655 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Let's get traffic on the 5s from Gracie Wolf.
No slowdowns to report. I-10 and I-110 looking good, as well as Davis Highway, East Olive Road, Creighton and Langley, and 98 in Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point in Navarre. Looking good. See something else on the roads, give me a call at 850-262-6111. And this traffic report is sponsored by Lowe's. Lowe's knows how to get your lawn ready for spring. Get a Colbat 40 volts string trimmer or a leaf blower for your choice at $49.99 each. Offer is valid through the 9th. It is valid through the 9th through the 22nd. You can look at different locations while supplies last. I'm Gracie Wolf, One News Radio 92.3.
You strike me as more of a leaf, a string.
Yeah, I should
string,
have read that
chain,
one,
you know?
Before. Oopsies.
Hey, it's hard, and sometimes if stuff's, you know, I'm no judgment. No judgment at all. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Credit Suisse Bank says they're getting a lifeline from Switzerland's central bank. They made an announcement last night. Credit Suisse says they'll be borrowing up to $54 million to shore up liquidity and investor confidence. The number one dog breed in the U.S. is now the French Bulldog. That's according to the American Kennel Club. They say the Bulldog has ended the Labrador Retriever's 31-year reign as the number one breed in the country. And FIFA President Gianni Infantino is now going to head up the World Soccer's governing body for another 4 years. He was reelected to a third term on Thursday in Rwanda. The 52-year-old was unopposed, and he's overseen the expansion of FIFA in the Men's and Women's World Cup, and also huge increases in FIFA revenue.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah, the French Bulldog's kind of funny. Like, you know, how could you ever replace the lab? But there you go, okay? And I've talked to some people who are like, you know, we had somebody come in the station one time who breeds them, and he's like, it's $5,000 a puppy. I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, my God. You know, I thought Australians were a lot at $1,000 to $1,500. So holy smokes. And that's not like pet store prices. That's like, you know, breeder prices, right? That's way, way cheaper. Anyway, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, a great place to buy good quality used cars. What they specialize in is cars that are 1, 2, 3 years old. You know, the idea is that a new car, you buy it, you pay the most, you drive it off the lot, you lost money already. And instead, if you wait a year or two for somebody else to drive it around for a little bit before they give it to you, you know, then you pay less for it, right? That's the idea. So cars that are in great condition, but you don't have to pay that full price. And when you go to Frontier, they have great selection, about 300 different used cars and trucks and vans and sedans all on the lot. And I strongly recommend you compare them. Don't just drive one, drive five. Seriously, drive five. Make it a goal. Like, I'm going to drive five just to be sure. And then also throw a sixth in there that's something outside of your range. Like, you know, you're looking for a sedan, drive a Jeep. You're looking for Jeeps, drive an SUV or a pickup. Or, you know, because you never know. And maybe you find out, nope, don't want one. And that's fine. But then you'd know, right? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community with great quality used cars for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, future news, Gracie, and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will we have partisan elections for school board? Will it be given to us? Will we adopt it in the next election?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think so, too. Will Mint, now acquired by T-Mobile, Ryan Reynolds is getting a big payday out of this. Will Mint stay basically Mint, you know, cheap phone service for everybody?
I think so.
I sure hope so. That's what we use. It's not the best, but it is the cheapest. When will US 29 and Brent be fixed so that it's not the speed bumps driving across there?
I hope soon. Some kind of
sign. It's going to be a bit. It just is. I'm sorry. It's terrible. I can't fix it. I wish I could. NAS Pensacola. How close are we to getting it back open to the public?
I think it's still a while.
Yeah.
But
I want to say be optimistic, but I'm trying not to be optimistic with this because it's going to be a little bit, I think.